live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 181. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, happy belated birthday, my guy.
Oh, man. Well, I had such a good weekend, man. I almost forgot it was my birthday, man. But, yes, thank you for the birthday shout-out on Facebook. Thank you for the happy belated birthday again. Man, what an awesome weekend. Personally, you know what I'm saying, helped my daughter. Not that you asked. My daughter got her first job, and, you know what I'm saying, I'm newly engaged now. So, yeah, man, yeah. And you know what I'm saying, we had some crazy football between college and pro. So a lot of action that I experienced this particular weekend, man. So let's get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Dive big show this evening. We will not have Tanner. Tanner's got a prior commitment. We had to do a Monday night show, so we had to switch it up this week. So no Tanner tonight, but he did give us his picks and his rundown of analysis we'll talk about when we do our picks later on. Before we get started, John, I'd like to say I've been on pins and needles all late this afternoon. I had a profit boost from DraftKings for Major League Baseball, and I put some decent money on a New York Yankees to money line win the game today against the Twins and over 10.5 runs total. And in the eighth inning, it was 5-2. Twins in the eighth, and Aaron Judge hit a three-run shot to tie it, and they went the extras in 10, and the Yankees win 6-5. 11 runs were scored, and the Yankees win, so double winner tonight on the bet. So, whoo, always good to start out that way.
Right. Streak continues.
Exactly. Big show. We've got NFL Week 1 reactions, overreactions, crisis. DEFCON 1, you name it, we got those to talk about. We've also got college football week 2 recap, as well as our week 3 preview and picks. So, well, let's see here. Tanner's texting me as of now. He might be able to get on. Pro now. College later.
Well, if we can get on, let's work it out. Where do you want to start? You want to start in college or you want to start in pro?
I want to start in pro. So, okay. I want to start with the NFL. Indianapolis Colts, big game, home game, Seattle Seahawks coming to town. Everybody, all the hope for Carson Wentz and this team, Super Bowl or bust. A lot of people are saying a lot of hope going into Lucas Oil. And at the end, a dud of a game for the Indianapolis Colts. Seahawks win 28-16. Carson Wentz, 251 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, but most importantly, 3 sacks, 9 hurries, 1 fumble. Russ, on the other end, 254 yards and 4 touchdowns. Lockett had 2 of those. John, that offensive line, if Carson Wentz was running for his life in Philadelphia, I mean, nothing's changed from Philly to Indy. That offensive line was horrendous.
Well, who do you really want to? You know, I know that. You know, after game one, they're not necessarily pointing fingers in that locker room, but the first half defense. You know what I'm saying? You text me and said it was Swiss cheese. You know what I'm saying? Do they miss Rhodes? Do they miss Toure? I would say as well. You know what I mean? But again, it was most definitely porous. Got some stops. You know, into the second half or whatever, but. I don't know, man. I know it's a lot of, you know, between the radio, local media here, you know what I'm saying, giving the Colts a tongue lashing, you know what I'm saying, and even going over furthermore, like it's like, you know what I'm saying, like we're in week 5 and like the Colts are 0-5, you know what I'm saying. I think, you know, the expectations is a little bit like, you know what I mean, it's a little inflated, man. You know what I'm saying? Plus, you know, you're realistically asking Carson Wentz to outdo a Russell Wilson. Let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? Seattle, you know what I'm saying, from the little dramas they did have over the over the offseason, man, you know, that kind of went all the way, you know what I'm saying, the last 90 days, well, the last 60 days or so. So, you know what I'm saying, there was some great continuity that they had. That's what I'm saying, man. I don't think we gave, these local media didn't give Seattle Seahawks enough credit. You know what I'm saying? They looked like they were in game five mode. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Week five mode, rather. So, you know what I'm saying? You have to give the kudos. And that's what I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard any.
They had no guys on the injury report either.
Right, right. So, again, we can you know what I'm saying? That's not that, you know what I'm saying, to be led as an excuse, though. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is, man. When I saw Russell Wilson, I'll be honest with you, man. You know what I'm saying? Some of these throwaways were just like setups. You know what I mean? Their defense was, that's what Pete Carroll is kind of prides himself on. The defense is not necessarily boom as it was, but you know what I'm saying, it's very aggressive. Hell, Jamal Adams, I do believe he had two fouls or whatever, you know what I'm saying, for encroachment or you know what I'm saying, crossing before the ball was snapped. But he was, you know what I'm saying, he was all over it, man. And like I said, man, they were the more prepared team. Then that's kind of how I assess it. Now we get into the nuts and bolts of it, man. Like, so how could if you put up the resumes? Well, not the resume, put up the evidence, man. So we expected Carson Wentz, a reclamation project at that, to come in with limited practice, injured in and out. You know what I'm saying? That's not the team the coach went 3-0 with in the offseason. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the shift went from Easton. And I'm not saying Easton would have did a whole hell of a lot better. I'll be honest with you, I don't think Easton would have did a whole hell of a lot worse either. I'll be honest with you. But, you know what I'm saying, we expected, you know what I'm saying, instant reclamation, you know what I'm saying, continuity with his tight ends, and where was Mo Alley Cox? I know if everybody's been saying, you know what I'm saying, where this person was, and, you know what I'm saying, how the running backs didn't rush their rush, and how they got a lot of passes to, you know what I'm saying, to them or whatnot, and, you know what I'm saying, how did they use the wideouts? But where was Mo Alley Cox? He was targeted 3 times, and, like, you know what I'm saying, that's one of your better play tight ends. That's like, I mean, if him and Doyle, I would say almost as, you know, 1A and 1B, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't think we got a whole lot of uses out of that. So, again, we looked really like an unprepared. We looked like we were playing a 4th preseason game. You know what I mean? I'm saying the Colts.
Right.
The Colts looked like they were playing a 4th preseason game, man. And you know what I'm saying? Like, again, Russell Wilson and the rest of his receiving core and their defense looked like they were in week 5 prime to try to challenge for their division, man. So again, I think that's kind of how I assess the game. I don't necessarily think it's necessarily gloom and doom. It's the opportunity to work, you know what I'm saying, and to get better, of course, you know what I'm saying. But again, you know, coming out flat, you know, in a home opener after seven years, I do believe they've lost the home opener, man. And after Ursay, you know what I'm saying, kind of gave the proclamation, man, that we need to win the home opener, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people here in Circle City are pissed.
Yeah. That's what the Colts are going to get now. They're going to get the buzzer. A couple things. From my assessment, obviously I was at work yesterday, so I got to catch some of the game, and then I got NFL League Pass, Game Pass, so I was able to go back and watch the condensed version, an hour of the game, which is all the plays out of the commercials and crap, which I love now. And, John, that offensive line, you know, with them being out of the preseason and mixing up the lineups and Eric Fisher still not ready and having to plug in that left tackle – And those guys were just getting around the ends. They were cutting through, went running for his life. I mean, they would get the running back, sometimes Taylor and them didn't have a chance, and Hines didn't have a chance to get out of the backfield from that defensive line. So it looks like the offensive line, they're not ready by a long shot.
Right.
Obviously, more reps, more whatever could possibly help them there. But in 1 week, you got the best defensive – the second best defensive player in the entire league coming into town with Aaron Donald, and it's gonna be a rough course.
You're giving the newly crowned $112 million man in upper Pittsburgh a whole lot of credit, man.
I think he had more sacks than Aaron Donald this week. So I mean, stats don't lie. But anyways, the Colts. I want to put it on the Colts as well. I want to put it not that much on the players. Maybe I want to put it on that coaching staff. I want to put on Frank Wright,
right.
Matt Eberflus,
right.
The defensive schemes, the offensive schemes, Marcus Brady, Frank Wright deciding to go for it, John, on three. There's 3:41 left in the third quarter. It's 4th and 1 on the 35. They sneak and fumble the football. No field goal. That would have put you down 8. You were down 11. That would have been a one-possession game. And then the fourth quarter with 9 minutes left, you got 4th and 1 on the 18, and you take a sack. I understand the aggressiveness that Frank's kind of wanting and what Frank's done in the past. But at some point, you know, you got to see a little bit of struggle. You've got to get something out of it because that's just going to piss off your defense. Like, they're out there doing everything to contain what they can of Seattle, and the offense goes out there and just lays a dud. That's a concern I have with Frank Wright and them. Also, Matt Eberflus, I have a problem with their matchups in the secondary. I sent you a text. I said that secondary is looking like Swiss cheese out there. Putting Kenny Moore on DK Metcalf in the red zone, that should never happen. Never happen as a call. That is a mismatch waiting to happen. Obviously, they picked it off, or they picked on him. Touchdown, DK Metcalf. But that's such an overmatch that they're not the Colts. They didn't have no matchups for it. Like, they didn't try to adjust. It looked like to me they just got, well, we'll play with whatever. The defense was getting torched by Lockett. What's Russ do?
Yeah.
What's Russ do? He throws it deep to Lockett all the time. I got them both in my fantasy leagues. That's what they do. And it's like they didn't listen to the damn game plan. They didn't get the right matchups out there. As much as I want to put on these players, that offensive line, especially, you know, Ryan Kelly and Carson Wentz not working on stuff together. Maybe that has something to do with the fumble with Wentz. I don't know. But a lot to do for the Colts to work on it. And, John, I said it could be rough. It could be an 0-2 or an 0-3 start for Indianapolis. Tennessee didn't look that good themselves, but it could get ugly next week with the Rams coming in.
I think I said it, man, maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, man, that the South could be one if you can win 10 games. It maybe even if you can win 9. You know what I'm saying? There's no way Texas, you know what I'm saying, wins more than 2 or 3 more. I'd say 2 more games. And Jacksonville, you know what I'm saying, I think USC might be on the line. University of Southern California might be on the line to see if Urban Meyer wants to come out there, just because he, you know, man, is he a good coach? I don't necessarily think he, you know, saying something. He's made a whole lot of mental errors, kind of going into Jacksonville is going to be Jacksonville. They got a fresh, you know, saying, fresh paint on the walls there. You know what I'm saying? So I would expect, you know, a whole hell of a lot of winning this year with them. So again, this division's still up for the grabs, and that's the key to, you know what I'm saying, you let all the other stuff kind of, you know what I'm saying, worry. You know what I'm saying? Let take care of itself. You know what I mean? This is the long play. Remember, we in a marathon, not a sprint. So just handling your business, man. You can see Tennessee, it's got some cohesive problems themselves. You know,
what?
I get it. What you're saying,
wait
though,
a minute.
Brandon,
wait
like
a minute.
So
wait.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
I don't.
Who's calling in?
Hold on.
We got a breaking news.
We got breaking news. Breaking news out of the NFL. Earlier today, it was mentioned that USC has fired their head coach, Clay Helton. Head football coach Clay Helton fired of USC after their dismal performance against Stanford. Mm-hmm. But, John, hold on a second. Why am I hearing myself twice? There is a credible source in the Checkmark Brigade on Twitter, so I've had to do some research, that sources are saying that Urban Meyer is considering resigning as head coach of the Jaguars, saying his, quote, heart is just not in it. Are you
Brandon,
serious?
Oh, my God.
Are you serious right now?
Are you serious? If that's what it is, man, that's ridiculous, man. And he'll be, I said 2023 with Urban Meyer going to USC. Again, man, it's a different type of locker room. It's a different type of preparedness. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It generated a lot of fanfare to him come down there, you know, and whatnot. But he's made a lot of mistakes. He's hired the wrong – he brought in the wrong guy to be the strength coach, said the wrong thing. Even regardless of what everybody might be saying, like as far as unvaccinated players being, you know what I'm saying, like automatic cuts, you know what I mean? He said the wrong thing. Yeah, that was definitely a what? So again, man, you know, in the places he's been, you know what I'm saying, Ohio State, Florida, Utah, he's like walked on water. He's had the ability to say and go. He had more power than the AD. You know
like, this is not just I had to check, make sure I wasn't getting duped, because I'm seeing other people now starting to retweet it and to another checkmark reliable source starting to comment on this.
Granted, it won't happen this year because they've already USC's already put a person in place. I think the defensive coordinator is now the interim head coach. He's now the head coach, but you know, Tony Khan's money is long, as we all know, man. But the Khans are more into, you know, I think they got a soccer team, and they obviously have a wrestling organization. They're more into that than they are realistically into football. So if Urban Meyer does resign, bet your bottom dollar, right? Bet that, you know what I'm saying, your DraftKings money, right, that he'll be there next year in USC.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So I just had to do the breaking news center on
Brandon,
that because I was shocked.
Man, those dominoes don't fall like that.
They don't,
right?
Why is that just now coming out after Helton's did his thing? I mean, Urban's been linked to that position for a long time.
You mean to tell me U.S. is the University of Southern? You know that? Listen, don't let the palm trees fool you, right? But you mean to tell me they that cutthroat? Did they? You know what I mean? They without knowing that you know something is going to happen. You know what I mean? Down the road.
Well,
come on.
I was reading the Times article a little bit ago, and I guess the past season and a half, or I guess it was 2 years ago now, the AD and the school took the power away from Helton on who he can hire as his staff. So it wasn't his choice on there. So there was been a falling out for some time. And Helton was very, easily persuaded to be fired and let go.
Yeah.
I guess it was about the Helton stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you look at your people. Yeah, absolutely. You look at your people there. Obviously, Urban Meyer, who's the report now that he could be possibly going there at some point. Some other names I wrote down, John, that could be looking that way. Luke Fickell. Cincinnati's now outside of the big picture since Fortune's left that conference to go to the Big 12. So Fickell and them, and Cincinnati was not happy when they lost those teams in the conference. So I can see Fickell possibly leaving Cincinnati, going to that big conference. That way doesn't have to deal with the crap anymore of should we be in, should we not be in, with being a Power 5. PJ Flex, another one from Minnesota. USC, if they want to spend the money, they want to get a good culture in there to be able to recruit those players. I can see them trying to go after PJ Fleck to try to bring Fleck in there as their head coaching position. Two other ones, John. One, he's already been there a coach before, but he's polarizing. And if you want to bring somebody that's in there polarizing, you have to get aboard the train. And I'm talking about the Lane train. Would Lane listen to come back to USC? I think he would. Absolutely. But, that's a pipe dream right there. But I think Lane's happy in Ole Miss. But I don't know if USC would want to bring that around, do that again. And the last name I have, John, is they may be scared based off how it ended in his previous stint, but maybe Tom Herman, the old Texas coach, him as a possible candidate to go in there at USC. So, or they may just promote from within that defensive coordinator. So, but a lot of options for USC as we move forward.
A lot of movement. Man, that's wild, man. That's how crazy football is, man. You know, that's all I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, back to the NFL. I was trying to save USC for later until the Urban bomb popped. Pittsburgh Steelers, John, 23-16. Winners over the Buffalo Bills. It looked horrific. Well, not horrific. It looked offensively horrific for the first half of the game. Defense, I thought, played amazing. The cornerback play was well. The defensive line, Devin Bush, TJ Watt. John, you gave him shit for when the Steelers signed him, said he wasn't going to do nothing. Melvin Ingram was a force this past weekend, last night in the game, going after Josh Allen. He was hitting him several times. He almost got a sack on one of them, beating the people around the end. I thought he played well. The Steelers cut that block punt for a touchdown, turned the tide. They held Josh Allen and Buffalo Bills in Buffalo scoreless.
Yes.
well, what, 3 points? Well, I guess what, 10 points in the second half, but they went on 20-0 run. The Steelers. Yeah. I didn't think we'd win the game, John. I was impressed how we did. I like to see the offense produce a little more. Najee looks good. A lot of big promising future, but love it. 1-0. Here we go again.
You gotta put that on Mike Tomlin too. You know what I'm saying? Just because, you know what I'm saying, those are the type of games, man, that are probably potentially going to haunt the Buffalo Bills, too. They're not going to be, you know what I'm saying, 0-5. There's no way, or hell, even 0-3, to be honest with you. And I think they get back in the win column next week, actually. But those are the type of games that are going to keep you – they're going to have to make you go to, you know what I'm saying, to potentially Cleveland to try to win a playoff game or to go to Kansas City to win a playoff game because you didn't get it done week one. Those are things, those are the kind of games that kind of haunt you when you know you have, you know what I'm saying, make top to bottom a better unit than the guy, you know what I'm saying, opposing you. You know what I'm saying? So real crafty win by the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's kind of how they operate. You know what I mean? If you look at the culture that they have, so Ben, I don't have the numbers in front of me, shame on me, but I think Ben kind of played an average game overall.
Yeah, they weren't sexy,
and like you said, man, the defense is kind of, you know, kept the team. You know, saying, I mean, they're obviously a defensive unit anyway. The defense kept the team in it. You know what I'm saying? Until it's time to make plays here or there. So you know, so you have to tip your hat. You know, say the Pittsburgh Steelers, they know that division that they have is going to be a black and blue division. If you saw what Cleveland is capable, the Browns are capable of, and we'll see what, you know what I'm saying, the mass unit that is the Ravens kind of does tonight against the Raiders, if they can, you know what I'm saying, hawk one up and get a victory. But hell, you saw what Cincinnati is capable of. Minnesota,
yeah.
Man, you know, they were expected to be better defensively, and it was kind of the other way around. You know,
yeah.
They paid a lot. They put a lot of money in corners and safeties this year, and you know, saying Joe Burrow just went out there and took care of business, man. You know, saying as the score is indicative, I think they beat him by 10, which is like, man, you know, saying you expect a veteran core like that Minnesota has to go in and you know, saying basically kind of spank Cincinnati. So again, man, but again, the Steelers did their due diligence by, you know, saying staying in front of the pack. You know what I'm saying? You never know if you know what I'm saying, if another team kind of get hot. Me personally, Brandon, what I watch between Kansas City and Cleveland, I think Cleveland, as much as I know we'll get to him in a second, you know, to end the visit, I think Cleveland is a lot of pressure on, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know what I'm saying, but they'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? A couple plays here or there, you know, they win that game. You know what I'm saying? They were amped up to win that game, but again, man, that division is going to be a black and blue division. And like I said, Steelers did the due diligence by handling their business and winning their first game on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody wanted me to do it. I'll go ahead and say it. We need to check in on Reggie Sykes after that Colts game. It's been, boy, that Facebook and that Twitter have been silent. It's been silent, John.
Yeah, he's not gonna call in, man. Cause like that'd be like saying that Bird song, "You Told Me So," and I told him so. Man. He had to score 24-21. Like, you know,
hey, I will
close,
say this.
Man.
I will say he's not the worst in our Crossroads pro football pick'em. I don't know if you've seen the record so far with one game left. So Reggie's got the lead by one game over us, but
okay.
Decott, whew. I'm ready to see now, John.
Decott probably took all the homers.
I think Decott was asleep when he made some of his picks because I don't know. If I'm bringing up the group now. I'm 7-8 in there, which is weird because I actually had a good betting day yesterday. So, yeah, Reggie's 8-7. I'm 7-8. You're 6-9. Decott 5-10. So with one game left.
Unpredictable.
Nobody's going to gain anything, so which means we're probably going to lose because we're all on the Ravens tonight. So we'll see. We'll see what happens
with
that.
Shame on me, man.
I don't think so. Maybe it's not showing it.
Okay.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it doesn't show anybody else. I took the Ravens, so shame on me. We'll see what happens there. Next one I want to talk about, John, I want to talk about the great performance last night. The great performance, quarterback of the future, Chicago Bears, Andy Dalton, and how he – oh, wait.
No, No.
Bears got thumped. Dalton played a lot more than he should have. Field scores a touchdown, but the Bears are still the Bears, and lost the game to the Rams big. I'll put the first one to go look at Los Angeles side. Matt Stafford fits that system perfectly. The targets he has, he looked comfortable there, John. He looked comfortable. The running game looked good. The wide receivers. There's a reason why Matt Stafford was only plus 600 for MVP this year. Sponsor of the show, Scott K. Nichols, said, can we please talk about Matt Stafford? He will be an MVP candidate in that system. Yes, Scott, he will be an MVP candidate. I actually put some money on him to be an MVP this year just to see if it would hit in the future. But, I was impressed with the Rams. I expected them to easily beat the Bears, I think, as you did as well. The Rams look good. They're going to be good. They come to Indianapolis, like we said this week. They're almost like a little bit of a mirror image of the Seattle Seahawks. So if the Colts have anything, maybe that's a little bit offensively for the Colts defense to improve upon. Those offenses are similar with Aaron Donald on the defensive end and Jalen Ramsey. Colts are going to have a little bit more of a tougher task. But I liked what the Rams did. I feel like they could have pulled away. They let the Bears hang in it a little bit longer than I thought they would last night. But overall, great job for the Rams. Matt Stafford is going to flourish in that system. On the Bears side, though, I think we still have an identity crisis. They went away from the run game with David Montgomery, too.
Yeah, man, all my folks in Gary, Indiana, and all my folks in Chicago, you know, they want Justin Fields out there now. I think Matt Nagy's going to wait till about week three to let Justin Fields
be fired by week four.
Nah. Well, him and Pace are tied together. Him and the general manager are kind of tied together.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll be leaving together if there's a firing. But it's time to start the Justin Fields era. Andy Dalton. One time, great quarterback. You know, saying great, decent quarterback. I don't say great. Shame on me. I don't want to. You know, saying we're a good quarterback in Cincinnati. But you know, what I'm saying it just, you know, a little flat, a little long to two. You know, what I mean, can he still command the offense? Yes, but you know, they need more. That team needs more offense. You know, what I'm saying you can crap on the poor play of the Colts offensive line, but the Bears do need the offensive line. Because again, they're not necessarily getting well. You know, the defense, anybody that plays, gonna get, you know what I'm saying, penetration all year. It's, you know what I'm saying, they're gonna push. You know what I'm saying, whether Andy Dalton's out there or Foles is out there or Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying. But I would you know what I'm saying, start, you know what I'm saying, the learning process now rather than later. You know what I mean. So if the Rams, if you say Aaron Donald's the second best, and we know he's the defensive player of the year. You know, he's a candidate, if not the winner. You know what I'm saying. Just go ahead. You know, start it now, man. You know what I mean? Iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? And you know, so you ain't gonna get no better by being on the sidelines. So I would let him play. You know what I'm saying? He has, if the preseason is a gauge of like what you should do, he had, you know what I'm saying, teams backing from the, you know what I'm saying, from connection from the receivers and the tight ends, you know what I'm saying, like after the second preseason game. So again, man, I know guys' jobs on the line here in Chicago, but it's probably the time. You know what I'm saying? If it was me, I would jump start it early, but again, I don't think, you know what I'm saying, Justin Fields probably doesn't start after week three.
Okay. And then on the Rams side with Matt Stafford, your thoughts?
Dude, you know, I don't want to overreact. It wasn't the fact that, you know what I'm saying, Matt Stafford couldn't play. You know what I'm saying? Just what was around him? You know what I'm saying? What was at the running back position? We all know he had Megatron, you know what I'm saying, for a number of years, but what was the defense looking like? Now he's got a defense where, you know what I'm saying, they're throwing out their opponents so that he can potentially, so he can do what he does. You know, he still got some nasty stuff over the shoulder to the wide outs, you know what I'm saying? He still knows how to read, you know what I'm saying, quite well. You know what I'm saying? He's actually opposite, even though he's probably more banged up than Andy Dalton. He's, you know what I'm saying, he doesn't play like he's longer than two. Doesn't play like he's, you know what I'm saying, getting ready to head for the couch. But so, man, Stafford in that system, man, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. And they have to, man. That division is going to be hella tough. So they have to get in front of it because, like, you know what I'm saying, Seattle will be there, and so would the 49ers, man. So I MVP candidate with McVay, you know what I'm saying, you know, in his PlayStation 5 call itself. Yeah, man, for sure. I don't know the odds, but you can definitely put some heavy money on Matt Stafford to get some MVP nods.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving ahead, Chiefs and Browns, John. Cleveland was doing well, leading the majority of the game against Kansas City. A buddy of mine is a big Cleveland Browns fan. In a group chat with a bunch of us, started talking shit, and at that point is when it fell. The wheels fell off the wagon, and Kansas City made a run. Chiefs, tell me if you heard this before. Chiefs comeback, another comeback win. Patty Mahomes, what an insane record he's had in September with his touchdowns interception ratio. Unbelievable how he's done. Chiefs again, they move on. I thought the Browns were okay. I think they're still going to be fighters for the AFC North. So even though they lost, I don't want to take too much away from them. They still have a good squad.
Dude, so they were just down 12. I mean, I'm sorry, they were just up 12, and they were leaving points on the board. And then they start making mistakes. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the game. Start making mistakes. Chubb, I do believe, fumbled. Chubb, man, Brandon, I don't know who you got rated as number one running back, but he's got to be top three. Okay? The way he runs with a lot of passion, runs with violence, you know what I'm saying, all those things that people like out of a running back, man. Special team play, you know what I'm saying, Gillen, I think his name is Gillen, the punter, you know what I'm saying, man, that you putting the Chiefs on the 15, you might as well have gave him a touchdown.
I think his hair got in the way.
But yeah, he fumbled. Oh, man, he's got some great hair. I'm jealous. You know what I'm saying, but he fumbled the punt. And I think the Chiefs were like, you know, say it wasn't the 15 or the 18, one or the other. But you might, like I say, you might as well just took the safety if you could, you know what I mean? But, yeah, once that pressure, you know what I'm saying, kind of made the Cleveland Browns kind of unravel. And, you know what I'm saying, those fans in Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, they become, you know what I'm saying, the 13th and the 14th man out there making noise and whatnot. So, there's a lot of criticism on Baker Mayfield. But, again, hell, Odell didn't play, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like, you know, and again, they just kind of fell apart, especially, you know what I'm saying, a fumble, you know what I'm saying, that doesn't happen, and a fumble punt doesn't happen. They walk out of, you know what I'm saying, Kansas City, you know what I'm saying, with their heads held high and they're, you know, with a victory. But, you know, nothing to panic at. It's definitely in Cleveland. But it does. They were, Brandon, they were very sharp. They wanted to win that game in the first half. And look, you know what I'm saying, but you have to remember, games are 60 minutes, not 30.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. John, one of the games I thought was interesting. I had to scrub my eyes and rub my eyes to make sure. But what another performance. Great performance by the MVP from last year, Aaron Rodgers, with all the drama and how the Packers did. Wait a minute. I missed that one as well, I guess, didn't we? It didn't look like the Packers showed up last night against the Saints. And boy, oh boy, our boy Jameis, that LASIK must be working. I've never seen a guy throw four touchdown passes and have like 170-some yards passing. That's efficiency.
Hasn't Sean Payton, you know what I'm saying, that coach staff done some great work with Jameis even after one game, man. Nobody, he hadn't thrown five touchdowns. Right, with no interceptions since he left Florida State, I feel like. You know what I mean? Great, you know what I'm saying, great performance by Jameis Winston and the rest of the, you know what I'm saying, the Saints. Aaron Rodgers looked like he'd rather be talking to, you know what I'm saying, Susie Culver on an interview, talking about – he said something that kind of red flagged me, man, in an interview. He wasn't with Susie Culver, though, but he said something about him potentially – he was ready – to either get traded to the Raiders or Denver. He said he admitted all this shit. You know what I mean? Pardon my French. He admitted all this.
No, you're good.
And then he said that if he had to walk away, he was ready to do that too. But man, in football and basketball too, professional sports, if you say that, then you might as well have been already retired. Right? Nobody is – you can't be timid. You know what I'm saying? You don't put your pinky toe or your big toe in to see if the water's 3 feet. You know what I'm saying? You know, to see if it's navigable. So again, man, do they I can say they got a lot of work to do, but like everybody's not on the same page. They're not. The coach, he can say he loves the coach, he doesn't. He can say that him and the general manager are passing things up. They haven't. You know what I mean? The organization would rather have Jordan Love out there, you know what I'm saying, potentially, you know, looking better than what Aaron Rodgers was like a rookie yesterday. You know, he looked like somebody that didn't want to play football yesterday. You know what I mean? So he can bash, I think he did. He can bash his running back, saying we didn't run. It was critical, hypercritical of it, but he's never necessarily this trade him already. You know what I'm saying? Just trade him already. They might be better off. But, I think, you know, Brennan, they can't panic. You know, though that looked horrible yesterday, that's probably one of his worst performances in career, how you gauge performances. I don't know. I still go back to the NFC Championship game from last year. Dude, you could have won the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But specifically, that's one of his worst performances. And he's gonna have to own it, but look at his division, man. Look at the division. The NFC North division didn't win a game in week one. So
the NFC West won them all.
right. So do you still think, you know what I'm saying, Detroit, as much as, you know, and I know we'll get to him in maybe a little bit, do you still think Detroit is gonna be ready to overtake Green Bay? No. Do you think the Bears with their, you know what I'm saying, Jekyll and Hyde, who's gonna be the quarterback? They don't, you know what I'm saying, who's gonna be the coach? You know what I mean, let you say, you know what I mean, after week two, week three, if they don't, you know what I'm saying, look like they're gonna do that. And then Minnesota. Minnesota paid a whole lot of cash for to lose a bunch of second year players. Again, man, I can still see them winning division, but they got you know, the team. This is Aaron Rodgers' team. Okay, on the field, he can bitch and complain, he can moan about, you know what I'm saying, LaFleur's play calling or whatever, but he controls his destiny. And right now, destiny's like, you know what I'm saying, he's going to be on the sideline. But that would be overreaction. I think they bounced back, but they looked like crap yesterday.
Basically. Yeah, I think it's overreaction. I think it's overreaction. Sometimes you just have to lay a dud, and I think that's what the Packers did. They'll be fine. The running game will get back going. Packers will be fine. I just thought it was interesting that the one time they lay an egg to start the season after all the drama, and then Jameis and them go out there and just carve them up. So,
yep.
Packers, I think, let me look. I hope it's not what I think.
Is it Tampa Bay next week?
No, it's not. Oh, my God. It's Monday Night Football against the Lions. They may score 60. They may throw up 60.
Now you talk about Swiss cheese, man.
Wait a minute.
My God, the head coach is supposed to be a defensive guy. Was he not? Uh-oh.
He is not a defensive guy. He is apparently not even an offensive guy. Dan Campbell is a placeholder until they get somebody else in there.
Sure. Well, you know what? It's not like Goff played bad. He did have one, a particularly bad INT. He did
really
throw three touchdowns. It looked like it smells like he's just Matthew Stafford, just in the with long blonde hair. You know what I'm saying? What they don't they can't they have a running back, but they don't have an offensive line to, you know what I'm saying, create holes for the running back to be utilized. And you know, he got the ball out to the receivers, got the ball out to the tight ends, man. But you know, they don't have in the defense stop it. They don't have no defense, none, zero. Zilch.
Yeah.
So that's pain. That's gonna be painful to watch all year. Maybe they can turn it to play some arena football, get some arena football numbers up there in Detroit. They can make it entertaining at least. But that's gonna be kind of painful to watch all year.
Before I get to the next game, John, are you going to tonight's game, are you watching the regular telecast, or are you going to do the Eli and Peyton?
I'll probably just watch the regular telecast.
Yeah, I'll tune in to the other one just to kind of see how they how it goes.
How they interact.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Should be good to see. I want to go back a couple days ago, John. Hold on a second. My computer is and I just want to say, how about them Cowboys? Oh, wait.
Wait a minute, Brandon. Now, let's tell the truth now, man. We were kind of, you know what I'm saying, that were a 9-point.
It was.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, Dak played well. Dak played great.
That was a game. That was gay. I got people texting me asking me, like, can't the Cowboys cover? And I'm like, man, I don't think so. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch that bet. But I was thoroughly surprised by, you know, saying Dak Prescott. Anybody claiming that he didn't deserve that money, you know what I'm saying, is eating, you know what I'm saying, grits full of crap.
I think that was you, wasn't it? Didn't you say he didn't deserve that much money?
No. I never said that. I said, no, he had similar stats to Carson Wentz, and that was kind of like the hold up. You know what I'm saying? Did he deserve it, or was he a product of what was around him? You know, especially with Zeke. I think at the point, you remember Zeke Elliott was like, you know what I'm saying, running back on with his head on fire. You know what
right.
I mean? And like, you know what I'm saying, they was, you know, loud on the offensive line. Well, the offensive line is still there. It's a little bit older. It's a little bit more healed up than it was last season. But like Dak is taking the step. He's taking the next step in progression. Again, upper echelon elite. We have to, you know what I'm saying, you have to get to the Super Bowl before you can say that. But, you know, did he look like he could get to a Super Bowl, given, you know what I'm saying, and put up some great, fantastic numbers? Man, yeah, he did. He just, unfortunately, Brandon, you're going to call me a Tom Brady hater, but what is OPI if you don't call it? What is offensive pass interference if you don't call it?
It's not. It's not a rule.
It's not a rule, man. So it looked like, you know what I'm saying, the receiver pushed off. However, you know what I'm saying,
allegedly.
Stop it. Anybody look at that, man. That was like a –
allegedly.
Allegedly. That's like the referees didn't want to call it, you know what I'm saying, in that close particular game. So you give Tom Brady some time to get, at least to get to the 25 or 30, man, and Ryan Suckup is, you know what I mean, he ain't a Grammatica, but he's damn near automatic, man, right? So historically, so that's what happened, man. You know, they lost by three. Did the Cowboys have a chance, opportunities?
Lost by two.
Did the Cowboys have opportunities to win? As their special teams, you know what I'm saying, left points on the board with extra points and field goals, absolutely, man. But again, man, I still expect that call to be made, offensive pass interference. I don't care who, if it's Tom Brady out there, I don't care if it's, you know what I'm saying, Mean Joe Green, you know what I'm saying, whoever, you know what I'm saying, whatever legend is out there, Joe Montana playing, you know what I'm saying, I expect that to be called, man. And the referees kind of tucked it, but you can't, you know what I'm saying, you can't cry over spilled milk, and you have to move on. So, Cowboys look like they'll be the NFC contenders, man. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, NFC. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Having him kick a 6-yard field goal when he's already missed two, two close ones. You're giving Brady more time. I did make a bet with a buddy of mine. He believes that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the NFC East. So, and I said the Cowboys.
Stop.
So there is a bet on the line for that right there between those two.
I got nothing against Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Alabama fans want to still claim him, man, but he's really Oklahoma's quarterback, right? But like, nah, man. Jalen Hurts has. I mean, they look good in that shutout. Put out on who they played? They played Atlanta, I thought, right? They look good. They you know what I'm saying? The defense looked good, and Jalen Hurts looked, you know what I'm saying, good, mobile as he always is, moving the ball and whatnot, but I don't necessarily think they're ready to, you know what I'm saying, overcome, you know what I'm saying, a team like the Cowboys. There's a lot of question marks with the team, not only with the name they're going to be with the team in Washington, but a lot of question marks still, even with the New York Giants, man. So still, I think that's going to be a two-team race between Philadelphia and the Dallas Cowboys. But I still think the Cowboys are a little bit better.
Yep, absolutely. We got our guy. Oh, here we go. Friend of the program, recurring guest, Fred Feldner. Fred, how are you?
Roar.
No, it's like a meow, isn't it? It's more like a meow.
Dude, back in the day, they did video packages on our, I think it's the NBC syndicate. It was Channel 4 in Detroit. And if the Tigers won, the Tiger would, like, chew a bat in half and growl. And then if the Tigers lost, he would have the Tiger like with an ice pack on its head and Band-Aids, and it would do the meow. I'll tag you guys on Twitter and send you that video. But oh man, as I always say about the Lions, I'm dead inside when it comes to the NFL and my fandom for my team, because you know I was born in Pontiac, unfortunately, so I root for the Honolulu Blue, And it just every year it's like we got to one-up ourselves on how to disappoint fans even more. And, yeah, I was just numb Sunday. It was just, you know, I think the thing that helped for me was that it was sandwiched between Ohio losing and then Aaron Rodgers getting humiliated. So I think that, like, softened the blow of the Lions being Lions.
Yeah, no, before you came on, man, I feel like what they can do offensively, unfortunately, there's nothing else that they have cohesively, you know what I'm saying, from a defense. I mean, I thought my guy was a defensive coach. That's what I mean. He was talking about breaking legs, like UFC style, at his first presser, you know what I mean? And I don't know. Brandon kind of called him a placeholder or whatnot. They can be offensive team and maybe catch a couple teams off guard, you know what I mean? And, you know, but Goff played, outside of the interception, I think Goff played well. I know there was a lot of question marks about him coming into the season, about his, you know what I'm saying, want and grit and, you know, and all those things to kind of, you know that football players need to have it, you know what I'm saying, if they want to play, you know what I'm saying, can you play hurt, all, you know what I'm saying, not injured, but can you play hurt? So, you know, tough times in Detroit, nothing new, right? But they got to figure out a way how to run the ball, ultimately. And, you know, stopping, you know, hell, like I told Brandon, man, I don't know what offensive pass interference anymore after watching Dallas and Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is anymore. You know what I'm saying? But so, you know, if offensively, I think they can click, but they got to figure out how to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and I like Williams, and I love Swift. I mean, even after Swift last
right.
season, his rookie season, dropping that, what would have been basically like a walk-off TD to win the game, he drops it, fumbles it, butterfingers. And, you know, the media was giving to him, fans were giving to him, and you know what? I didn't. Like, it sucked, but it's like he is a kid. Like, he's a rookie, and you're getting a game-winning pass thrown to. Like, it happens. But that kid has so much potential with them. I'm really excited to see what they can do, but the problem is you got to have an offensive line, and that has been the Lions' Achilles heel since I was a kid. Like,
yeah,
it's never improved. You know, the years we had Sue, that was a window of, like, the winds of change were at Ford Field. But other than that, it's like, look at what Stafford did with the Rams last night. I watched every second of that game. And you just look what Stafford does on a different team when your O-line's actually protecting you and you have all the time in the world to get a pass off. You know, he was out there throwing bombs. And, you know,
great.
People here, you know, you call him Stat Padford or he didn't win a game here, blah, blah, blah. But I'm rooting for him, and I hope he wins a Lombardi and hoists it over his head one time before all said and done with his career because he deserves it.
Yeah.
And it just – I don't get it. It just – it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it also didn't help that your corner that you just drafted – I do believe a year and a half ago, blew out his Achilles or ACL.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Achilles.
A lot of promise.
Yeah.
That kid's got a lot of promise now. He played on a loaded defensive Ohio State team that got pressure in the middle, and he, you know what I'm saying, he looked great kind of coming out of college, you know what I'm saying, with the interceptions he had at Ohio State. But that's just another big blow to try to for that team to overcome. That's trying to put together a defensive front, you know what I'm saying, and then, you know what I'm saying, and now they take a big hit in their secondary with him kind of going out, man. So they said he got lion eyes. I said, oh my goodness.
Well, and the thing too about it, Bird, the frustrating thing as a fan is like it's the past regime. Like this Dan Campbell didn't draft Jeff Okuda with the third pick. You
right.
know, the Chargers took Herbert. Like, there were a couple picks that could have swung our way that could have been complete game changers from the jump. And they drafted Jeff Okuda. And you know how much I love Ohio. There's not – I mean, sure, there's bias there, but, like, truly, deeply, like, I wanted Chase Young that year, and it was kind of the race to see, if, like, who would suck more, Washington or Detroit. And I was
right.
really hoping for Chase Young, a defensive end, to come suit up for Detroit. And then you got this year's draft. And Penei Sewell, like, again, I just harped about the offensive line, so I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and complain that we didn't draft Fields or, you know, they didn't get a quarterback. I mean, I called in here every week last year hoping that we got Zach Wilson, who, you know, was a Jet, you know, this season and looked okay. You know, he kind of was deer in the headlights out there and put up a fight against, you know, who did they
lose to? Carolina.
So, you know, it was a valiant effort on his end, but it's still, it's just like, you never know, though. I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville yesterday. And it's week one. It's overreaction Monday. Everybody's going to have their opinions, but there are no overreactions in Detroit. And it's super frustrating when, like, a new player, a rookie, or, you know, a guy gets traded, he comes to Detroit, and he's, like, getting into it with the fans, like, oh, stop, you know, complaining. And it's like, dude, no, like, you don't get it. Like, you have no idea. It is the worst. No hyperbole here. The worst sports franchise in the history of sports from the ownership down beyond just the X's and O's and the wins and losses. So when you've just had your heart ripped out of your chest a million times, the million and first time, it's just like, okay, it's you know, CJ from San Andreas, all crap, here we go again. You know, like, it's every year. And what do you do? It's like, I think the sentiment today was kind of torn. It was like 50-50 because, you know, I do my group therapies on Monday. I listen to Detroit sports radio, and half of the Detroit faithful are, well, you know, typically the Lions would lay down and die and they wouldn't fight back. And this team fought back, so there's promise.
They did.
But the other half is just – and then there's the other half like me. Like, I've seen this movie before. How many fourth quarter comebacks did Stafford put up with the Lions in his tenure? I've seen this before. I don't care. I don't care that you almost came back or almost blah, blah, blah. Like, it almost doesn't matter to me. I don't care about almost. And when you have one playoff win in over 60 years, I could wipe my ass with almost. I don't care. I just don't care.
One pride.
You know? And it's just how it is, man. My patience is so thin, and I'm going to watch him every week. I'm not going to be that guy, you know.
John.
But at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Know? I'm nervous because – oh, what I'm hearing from Fred, damn, we got 60 more weeks, and this team might
they're
have 14 losses.
They're,
we can't go 14. I know,
their
but I'm saying.
Too good to go 0-17.
I mean, Fred, from what I'm hearing from Fred, and I've got other Lions friends I have, they're so down the dubs, you can't get any – it can't get any worse, right?
Even
unless,
a winless season doesn't matter because been there, done that, so – who cares?
If the quarterback gets hurt, it'll be worse.
Who cares? Who cares? If they do it again, who cares, honestly?
Damn.
Like, but the thing is, they got nothing. They didn't have a field goal kicker 2 weeks ago. They have no secondary. This last genius regime
that
we
the Colts.
With Patricia, this last regime that with Patricia, they had Glover Quinn and Darius Slay. They had a top five secondary group in the entire league and drove both players out of the city. Demanding trades and got traded to Philly and Seattle. So you dismantle a top five secondary. You draft Jeff Okuda at three, who I'm going to say it now is a bust. B-U-S-T, he is a bust. I wish him well. I hope he gets healthy. I feel for him. That really sucks, but he needs to go, and hopefully he finds his career. Very unlikely, if you look at the numbers of people who fall into Achilles injuries, especially in that league, they don't come back from it. I really, truly wish him the best. I have no ill will with him. My ill will is with this pass regime. You know, we got the in limbo quarterback taking the snaps. We have no receivers to throw to. Hockenson is it. He, the tight end, that's it. There's zero weapons on this team. So you don't have a field goal kicker. You have no weapons. Your defense is atrocious. And you have a quarterback who he just took the snaps for the first time yesterday, who is not a bomb thrower like Stafford was. He's going to throw little screen passes and slants and stuff like that. He's not a mobile quarterback, so you're going to either try to run the ball or you're going to dump the ball 2 yards every time. So what, like, you know, like, 0-17 seems realistic because what on paper would suggest otherwise with them? Like, who are they going to beat on their schedule?
I got them with 2 wins.
You know, so. it's just, man, like, the only hope I can have is that this regime, because I'm not, that's another thing, too, that I voiced over the last day. I'm not mad at Dan Campbell, because how many coaches since Wayne Font took us to the promised land before we got blown out by, you know, Mark Ripken in the NFC Championship? After Wayne Font, how many coaching changes have they had? It's been the same thing there every time. So I'm not going to sit here and rag on the coach after week one. There's no talent out there. What do you want him to do? He's got a JV team out there playing in the NFL. What do you want him to do? You know, they got ex-players across the board on that team coaching. I'm confident on the coaching staff, but you got to have talent to coach. And if you don't have that, you're not winning games. And they are not winning games this year. You know, so.
Yeah.
That is me ranting for the umpteenth time about this franchise. And sorry, not sorry. I hate when people try to do the comparison, like, oh, I know what you mean, man. It's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know what I mean.
Fred, next week you get a pissed off Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on Monday Night Football.
Oh, it's going to be hilarious.
I said they may score 70 on him.
It pains me that I hate the Packers and hate him, but I would be willing to put money down, because there's not a snowball's chance in hell that the Lions cover. I don't even know what the spread is right now, but there's no chance in hell that the Lions win on Monday Night Football. But granted, isn't that typically when they do pull off wins, when it doesn't matter?
Right.
Or when people, you know, it's like, oh, they'll win for no reason, and they'll be like 1-16 this year, but they beat the Packers on Monday Night Football. Oh, cool.
Fred, we're kind of up against it because we got to take a commercial break at the top of the hour. I got to ask you two wrestling questions before. Cause we
12 and a half is the spread.
Kayfabe connection, man. There's no way we would not have asked you a wrestling question to do. What did you think about Prince Devitt's comments about he don't need a WWE? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've seen that. He was on somebody's podcast that he doesn't need the WWE.
I did not.
And you know what I'm saying? Prince Devitt is to the lay people, is Finn Balor. But they put him in a program with Roman Reigns, which that's about the only – I think that's kind of like really only bright spot right now on SmackDown. And, you know what I'm saying? They let it actually, you know, the Beast came out there, which was great. But you know what I'm saying, your thoughts on that, and what's his name finally showing up last weekend, the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, in AEW.
So I'll answer the Devitt stuff first. I mean, I'm Irish. Like, I love him. Like, he is a national hero. Like, I love Fergal Devitt. I was lucky enough, I went to Bray Wicklow County, Ireland with my wife. We went to the Fight Factory, which is where he and Becky Lynch both trained. So we got in the ring where he trained at the Fight Factory. It's literally like this tiny warehouse next to a pub in Ireland, in this like coastal area, like this tiny little place. So I'm a huge fan, but WWE takes what people's favorite wrestlers and favorite personalities, and they make them mundane. And that was me, you know, especially him not coming out as a demon at WrestleMania. That was really when I just started getting apathetic towards Finn Balor. And after the Universal title match with Rollins at SummerSlam, he wins the title. He has to relinquish it because of, you know, he wrestled Seth Rollins. That's a shoot. He just kind of falls into just this purgatory with them. He needs a resurgence, and I hate suggesting everybody go to AEW, but you see what a fresh coat of paint does for you. And his friends are all there. It makes sense storyline-wise, not just because it's the cool thing to jump. It makes sense for Ferg to be in AEW with Omega and the Bucks and Cole and all these guys. So that to me is just, it's just a matter of time. To me, Devitt, Generico and Steen are all gone. And I think if they're gone, AJ Styles is going to finish his career and his swan song will be in AEW too. But I pretty much will put the bank on all those people leaving.
Wow. All right.
There's
enough.
Bryan Danielson. I was just going to say real quick before I leave you guys, Bryan Danielson, him and just in a ring with Omega was enough to give goosebumps, I think, to some wrestling fans. So I'm excited to see what they do. I wanted that Final Countdown theme, but I'm kind of feeling the new Flight of the Valkyries, like the remix. So the music's good. His persona is back to like that ROH, you know, badass persona. I'm excited to see what he has in store. Again, fresh coat of paint, different personality now, new song, new image. Like, let's go, you know? So, yeah.
All right,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Roar.
Roar.
Yeah, roar. 12
and a half
Rams point. Colts game at Lucas Oil, so.
12 and a half point
a
underdog.
Team, 12 and a half. I got the pack.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Best of luck. Hey, just relax this week. Listen to some calming music and just kind of rub your ears a little bit, and we'll get through this together.
Oh,
I'm going
to the Dead Show on Wednesday, so I'm gonna be in my element and gonna be a happy guy. So no animosity this week.
Nice. All right, Fred. Thank you, buddy.
Well, thanks, fellas. Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Fred Felner, KFAB Connection, John. Fred was so sad and just to explain it all. Man, we got 16 more weeks. I mean, as somebody said on Twitter, Decott said on Twitter, take the shoelaces away from him.
Oh, man.
You don't want
to
hang yourself
in the cell. The Lions will be able to put up points, man. Mm-hmm. Can they stop anybody from putting points up on them? That'll be the question that the coach staff and those players have to answer. But I don't think it's all gloom and doom just yet.
Right. All right, we're going to go to a quick break. We get back. We got 1 hour left in the show. We come back. We're going to talk college football and more. See you soon.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, peekaboo, and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lights, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Give them a call today, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out online, maverickcustommotorsports.com. And let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back. And want to dive into the NFL, or excuse me, not the NFL, away from the NFL, into the college football. There were some good games this past weekend. We'll kind of hit some highlights of notes I have, and then we'll kind of dive into our picks and such. Best game of the week on paper, the number 11 Oregon Ducks that traveled all the way across to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes, and the Buckeyes who were picked by many possibly go to the national championship. Wait a minute.
For real. They're in trouble.
The Big Ten's Ohio State loses. They were double-digit favorites against Oregon. The Oregon Ducks win it 35-28 in the shoe. The defense, much like the Indianapolis Colts defense, looked like Swiss cheese out there against Oregon. Ducks.
Hey.
From the Pac-12, John, have knocked off the Big Ten. Also, John, the Pac-12 has knocked off the SEC. I need you to put some respect on the Pac-12 name.
Man, I would like to, but then USC fired their coach after two games, man. So, we might be in unprecedented waters, man. Just because, like, nobody thought, you know what I'm saying, that Oregon team that was going to go, you know what I'm saying, across the nation, basically, after watching that Fresno State game where their quarterback, Anthony Brown, basically had to go lottery pick on Fresno State to win at a 4th-and-8 to win the game. And, hell, he got 30 yards, or 23 yards on the 4th-and-8, man. So, again, man, nobody kind of expected that. Ryan Day's defense did not look like it was, prepared. Looked like they had a, they had a long big party Friday, Friday night. And they came out with a victory. They just could not keep up, and they couldn't, Usually, like Ohio State turns it up on you defensively. They can score with anybody, right? They can score with whoever, Alabama, Clemson, anybody. But usually, at some point on a lesser team, they make key stops, and they could not make key stops at all. Not all day Saturday. So they came out. I was shocked, for damn sure. Brandon, isn't the Big Ten going? Aren't the teams going to beat up on one another? You know what I mean? So what does that mean? Penn State, they're going to beat up on Ohio State, Michigan. They get a crack. I don't know Penn State. Take that back. I don't know if Penn State gets a crack at Ohio State this year, but not to the Big Ten championship game. But Michigan, they're in there somewhere for sure. They're the last game, and Michigan State does look better. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I don't know if Ohio State gets out of the Big Ten with less than two losses. Oh wow,
they're gonna be fine. As much as I want to give them crap, and I did, and I buzzed them, they're going to be fine because they're going to have they're going to need a couple things. Oh,
but
Scott,
Scott
just commented, should he start including Purdue in the parlays? I would not. I've learned my lesson about betting for Purdue. My last right pick on Purdue was back they beat Ohio State. I took that money line and the spread on that one. But, John, here's my thing with Ohio State is I'm trying to bring up their schedule. They've got Tulsa this week, home against Akron, at Rutgers. Rutgers will put up a little fight for them, but I think Ohio State will still win the game. They go to Indiana. That could be tough. They home against Penn State. So they do play Penn State because they're in the same division.
They do play Penn State.
Yes, they're in the same division. Home against Michigan State and at Michigan. So I think there's a chance still, a strong chance, that a one-loss Ohio State team makes it to the college football playoff. Because you got to think, here's the thing, they really need, and I think what the top it off for them is they need a undefeated Iowa to go to the Big Ten championship where they beat them. That will seal the fate for them.
Correct. What happens? Nebraska be doing them a favor if Nebraska can beat Oklahoma at home this weekend.
Yes.
Nebraska will be doing
and Indiana them a needs to beat Cincinnati.
But I'm saying
that
Brandon,
would help them.
So think about it, Brandon. Think about it, man. If Oklahoma does go undefeated in the Big 12, right? UCLA goes undefeated in the Pac 12. Could the Big 10 be out of a playoff spot?
I still think they got a good chance. Because
the ACC, the ACC and Notre Dame would be out there like, what? But take that back. Notre Dame is the monkey wrench in all of this because they play a couple Big Ten teams, Purdue and Wisconsin, respectively, and they also play two Pac 12 teams, respectively.
Yeah.
So,
John,
go ahead.
I think with them, I think it favors the Big Ten. Because the Big Ten championship game, I think you're going to get more with Ohio State if they win. It's going to be better style points and facing the Big Ten has got one or two teams that are going to be really, really good. So they're going to meet in the Big Ten championship, which will help Ohio State. The Big 12,
you got
Oklahoma, and then you got what? You know, Iowa State just
right,
lost to Iowa. So there's a bigger gap in the Big 12 than the Big Ten.
Right. Okay.
So that's my thought. I think Ohio State still has a really good shot to make it because even the SEC, you're going to get Alabama and Georgia playing each other in the SEC championship, right? So somebody's going to have a loss there. And Ohio State's got their one loss.
Are we sure?
Clemson's got their one. I know, but Clemson's got their one loss. So, I mean, you're going
to
have.
Dude, they ain't losing. They're not losing to the ACC championship game.
Okay, so then maybe, and Ohio State may not either. So then you got, then that's where you got to say, okay, well, let's look at these one-loss teams. Somebody's feelings might get hurt this year. Somebody's going to get left away from the table.
Are we sure, though? Are we sure that Florida ain't going to do some damage this weekend?
Florida
are we
ain't
sure
going to do
Miss?
Crap. You say the Florida Gators? Is that who you're talking about? Come on now.
I'm not making my pick just yet. You believe in Lane Train and Ole Miss?
I love Lane Train and Ole Miss, but, I mean, you got to be realistic a little bit. I mean, you can be with your heart and your head. But John, I got to move to the next game.
Go ahead.
How about them SEC coming, Big 12 loving, Texas Longhorns taking on Arkansas? They got the win, and they win. Wait a minute. Texas gets the doors blown off them by Arkansas, who's only maybe won four SEC games in the last 3 years?
Yes, you know, man,
oh, my goodness.
You know I loved every bit of it, man.
I know you did.
Bit of it. Just because people actually believe that Texas football can compete. I don't think Texas football can compete in the Big Ten. How about that? I don't think Texas football could. Maybe they should have went west, Brandon. Maybe they should have went to the Pac-12.
How many people were shocked in that game? Because I wasn't. I actually took Arkansas with the points.
You know, after you know, saying they handled, you know, saying the Raging Cajuns, you know what I'm saying, who I think we'll see the Raging Cajuns, you know what I'm saying, slide into 23, 24, 25, that, you know what I'm saying, that type of, after they handed them a significant, you know what I'm saying, you know, a sound loss, sound defeat, just, you know, so it was back, you know, and that's okay. That's an old rival, Arkansas is, from the old Southwest Conference. That older people remember, Coach Pittman, who coaches Arkansas, definitely remembered. And, you know, say, I don't know, I caught a press conference with him earlier today, man. And, like, dude, he's got that Southern, you know, I don't want to call Southern boy, but, you know, he got that Southern, you know what I'm saying, coach mentality. You know, he's a teacher, he's a builder, you know what I'm saying. He knows he's up against it because Arkansas in the SEC, nobody believes in him. You know what I'm saying, damn near sound like Bobby Bowden. You know what I'm saying, damn near the ghost of Bobby Bowden. So, like, nah, man, they came off with it. I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas steals another, you know what I'm saying, not beating Alabama or not beating, you know, Georgia. But I wouldn't
be surprised. Yeah, they beat Mississippi State last year, first game of the year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they catch somebody napping. A Florida, I don't have their tears in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised if they catch another SEC napping and make some waves because he's built, he has the team believing. You know what I mean? And, you know, they winning that game. Texas winning that game real cocky. You know what I mean? Thinking they were going, you know, this is SEC. We'll be here in 2 or 3 years. We're going to, this shit, Arkansas, you're going to build. You know, and that didn't happen. So, again.
Arkansas, home game against A&M, at Georgia, at Mississippi, home against Auburn, home against Mississippi State, at LSU, at Alabama, and home against Missouri.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule.
They went
right?
3-7 last year. I took them plus the points. I didn't understand why they were getting so many points against Texas. That was one of those fishy lines that you could sniff that line out easily when you look at it. All right, I gotta get our guy. Roll Tide, roll, Decott.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. How's it hanging tonight? Good.
It's good.
Well, I tell you, hearing a lot of stuff on you all's show tonight, again, as you all know, I love the show, and I'm still working. If you hear people in the background, it's because I'm working still. But I had to call in. I want to address a couple of things first. I didn't know you all were running a counseling session on the call. if I had to listen to 20 minutes of Detroit Lions football again, I may not listen again. I mean, are you kidding me? I'm not trying to hear this guy cry and whine. Should we pick an offensive lineman? We should pick a quarterback. He doesn't know. He's a typical fan. That's his fandom. Detroit is destined for horrific results. It's Detroit. So it doesn't matter. Penei Sewell, Matthew Stafford, Billy Sims, Barry Sanders, Megatron, it doesn't matter. It's Detroit. So 5 minutes of Detroit talk, and that's it. That's all we can do. I can't do any more, guys.
Well,
okay.
That's my first deal. I don't know, Decott, man. Your pick.
The guy that pays our bills is a Detroit fan.
Yeah. I'm getting to him too.
I'm getting to him too. He's not far behind, but at least he acts like he likes the Colts. So that's okay. But I'm just giving those guys a hard time, right? I understand. You all running the counseling session. I get it. But I want to hit a couple things. I want to talk about Helton getting fired. This thing is 4 years overdue at USC. As you all know, and maybe you aren't as up on that as I was because of what happened. He's a guy who snitched on Stark with the drinking situation. He went to Pat Hayden and he kind of sneaky snitched on Stark. So he wasn't capable of running the team as a coach. So he said, this is my opportunity. He took an opportunity and he failed. He should never get a head coaching job again. He should always be an assistant. So that's my deal on Helton. I never respected him as a coach after what he did to Sark. And this is well before Sark thought about coming to Alabama. And not a big fan, not a big supporter, but I'm not saying I'm glad the guy got fired, but he wasn't a head coach at that type of level anyway. He hung on there for 5 years because of what he did to Sark, not because of what he did on the field. I wanted to kind of share that a little bit.
Okay.
Secondly, Arkansas is real. Jonathan, I know you guys are going to knock. Arkansas played Texas similarly to what Alabama did when the kid from LSU was at LSU, the running back is in Tampa Bay now, the way they played. They played so physical. They played him, and I forget his name because he didn't play for Alabama, but they played him physical, and he never got a chance. If you look at that game, I looked at it from the second quarter on. It looked so much like the Alabama game against Fournette in 2016. It was amazing. Arkansas is the third most physical team I've seen in the SEC. As Georgia first, Bama second, Arkansas third. I kid you not. Talking about physical play. I'm not talking about all the other bells and whistles. They haven't won a game, four games in the SEC in X amount of years. They play physical. Look out for Arkansas in the trenches.
Yeah,
that coach has them up and playing.
Deca, I saw that line, and it looked fishy. And I said,
yeah.
There was a couple of fishy lines I saw out there. Another one was the NC State, Mississippi State one. That was fishy to me. Thank God.
Yeah, that was shady, too. Was shady. Did you guys see the video of the Arkansas coach talking to the state troopers about letting the students run the field, get on the field after the game? Man, I had chills up my spine.
They paid a big fine for
it. Yeah, $100,000
before you came on. Before you came on, I said he's got the ghost of Bobby Bowden in him.
You
know what I mean? He's got that Southern charm.
I'm telling you.
He's got that Southern charm.
Man, that dude, that spoke a lot about him as a guy, right? He says, let him out here. We hadn't beat Texas in umpteen years. Let him out here. We'll take care of the fine. These schools are printing money out anyway. Arkansas had a full stadium. They've got to sell out every game this year. I got a friend of mine who's an Arkansas alum who played cornerback in the mid-90s. And I'm telling you now, fact is, Arkansas, I'd be shocked if they don't win 7, maybe 8 games this year. I'd be shocked. Just because of the physical play and Pittman, the way he coaches. And they got a four-headed monster in that backfield with that quarterback and those three running backs. They got power, speed, and finesse, and they got a big quarterback. And they kept talking about him like he's, Cam Newton. Yeah, he's not Cam Newton, but they're talking about from a size standpoint. I can't argue with it. He's
Let
got
me
a
ask
big
you this.
Arm, man. Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
From the greatness of Arkansas and what they've done, and, boy, they ain't seen a crowd like that since back in the basketball days with Nolan Richardson
as
a head coach. Shout out, of course, Williamson, 1994, Arkansas squad. tell me if you – I want to put you – I want to put you as a father in this situation. If your son plays for a football team and you get beat by a FCS school on a last-second Hail Mary – and your son goes over to his girlfriend and proposes to her on the field after they just lost to an FCS school. Is that going to be a proud dad moment, or is that going to be like?
I'm going to disown him. I'm going to disown him. He's no longer my son.
Florida State. He belongs. John, I don't know if you saw that.
He belongs to the
guy did that.
I know he belongs to the streets after that. He doesn't belong to me. It's about competing and winning, and that told me at that point that young man wasn't about winning anyway, and it's reflective of how they played in that second half against that school, and also I'm a double down, and it further stresses the point that the coach for Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, should be investigated for shaving points. How in the hell you know where I'm going there. How are you up 18 in the second half and you play prevent defense to that team? If you can get outcoached by the worst coaching performance I've seen in the last 10 years, that is point shaving at its best. Brian Kelly must be investigated. I'm opening up. You know it and I know it.
Yes, sir. Purdue's not beating Notre Dame.
No.
Listen, I'm done. I won't touch Notre Dame with a 10-foot pole with a 17-inch arm.
So
I'm not touching Notre Dame.
You're not calling them Notre Shame anymore.
No, they are Notre Shame. I'm just trying to be nice tonight. Oh. A good move.
I took Toledo plus 16.5, this show because Ball State only lost by a touchdown to Notre Dame last year. So.
Yeah, I'm done with Notre Dame. I'm staying away from Notre Dame. They're rat poison to me. Notre Dame is rat poison. So
damn.
So listen, I got a couple more topics I want to hit because I know we're pressed. This is one. Good. This is an easy one. A&M quarterback is out for the season, I think. That just killed all their hopes for any potential matchup with Alabama for a potential SEC West title bid. What Alabama has to deal with is an Auburn team that's hungry now. LSU is going to be outcoached if they play a junior high team. So I'm not concerned about LSU. My big concern was A&M, and now they don't have a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't want to fear. You don't want to deal with the Tide.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to give you that. So still think Alabama may take a loss this season. But it won't be against A&M, and it won't be against LSU.
Who's Alabama playing this weekend?
F, and they got some guy who's quote unquote is a AR-15. He's talking a lot of trash, and I forget his name. University of Florida. We'll see. I'll be sitting in front of the big screen at 3:30 p.m. to see what happens.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
I got two things for you, Scott.
Sure.
Number one. In our Crossroads Sports Pro Pick'em, 5-10. 5-10, you bring it up the rear?
I was driving, man. I was driving. Randy pushed
okay,
me to get. I was driving.
Well, good thing we got 16 more weeks. You can improve on
that
score.
I will fix that. If you take a look at my picks, I took a lot of the underdogs.
You did.
I was trying to go contrarian. And I was driving. I couldn't think clearly. But that's okay. This week I'll bounce back. I'm predicting at worst 7-3.
I got a question for you. And Jonathan,
sure, absolutely.
You might be able to help us out on this as well. Has anybody? We sent a missing person alert. I have not heard a thing from Reggie Sykes since these Colts lost. I think we need to send somebody out looking for him.
You won't hear a thing. You won't hear anything. Hey, listen, I've been giving him the business ever since last evening. He may be somewhere walking around lost at Eagle Creek, just walking around in circles somewhere. there's no way he's coming to the table. All that trash he talked, I told him. I said, you have a quarterback who's gun shy. I said, you have an offensive line who is not what you say they are. You have a receiving core who's not what you say they are. This guy has four Colts in it. In our group fantasy league, he's got four Colts on his team. Four.
Wow.
Four.
He
tells you all you need to know. He's a homer. So shame on him, man. Listen, he may not come back till week 8 or 9. Okay, there's a chance week 8 or 9 is about the time when he'll come back. I'm so happy because I don't have to hear that yap, yap, yap. So I'm in a good mood. That's another reason why I'm in a good mood.
Well, somebody send a missing person alert out for him. If you're in the Eagle Creek area, look for Reggie. He might be there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's got a sheet wrapped around him, just walking in circles somewhere, man.
He's got his Colts hat in his hand, just staring at it, just like, why? Why did you fail me? So.
But I'm going to tell you, listen, this weekend for college football, fellas, this is going to be one for the ages, not just because of Bama, Florida. I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a heavy-hitting game, but I'm going to tell you, things are opening up a little bit. Say again.
I try to tell Brandon that, man. He thinks Bama's going to, you know, going to crush him.
No,
I think
I don't
a little
think,
bit closer.
They're favored by 16. They're going to kill him.
No, but that's not – but this college football is different, right? 16 isn't such a big margin. I mean, if I'm not going to bet on this game this week because I don't try to mix, but if I were a betting man, I'd probably take Florida in the points.
Be the tide all day on it.
I think Florida's a little bit better than Miami.
Yeah, not much better, but a little bit better. definitely, that's for sure. But listen, but we'll catch up. I know you guys got other shows. But listen, here's the thing. I'll leave
you
a couple things. No more counseling sessions, y'all. We gotta reduce the counseling sessions, and we gotta rejoice in the fact that we probably got another 7 or 8 weeks until we have to hear from Reggie Sykes. Because next week they got the Rams, and they're gonna get they're going out the gates 0-2. 0-2.
Oh,
I can't wait. So he's going to be quiet as a mouse pissing on you know what. So, hey, it's going to be all right, man. I look forward to these next few weeks in peace.
All right.
All right, D-Cott. In and out. I love it. All right, John, I want to go to our picks real quick.
Yeah.
I got it on the Facebook screen. Last week, myself and Tanner, we both went 4-5. You went 5-4, so you gained the advantage. Overall, after 2 weeks, I'm 11-7. Jonathan, you're 500. You're 9-9, and Tanner is 8-10 after the first 2 weeks. Kind of looking at our picks overall, we all lost on the Ohio State. You guys both lost on Notre Dame. I took Toledo. Ball State, you had the Ball State one. They did not cover. We had the Penn State. I had Iowa State. They did not show up in that game. And speaking of such, we're talking about this as we're talking here. I'll save it for the rankings. I'll save it for the rankings. Indiana was a free pass because we didn't have a spread. Michigan rolled. Washington just looks dead in the water. I mean, absolutely dead. Uh-oh. Yeah, we had to play Hail the Victors a couple times. Michigan with the win. Purdue, I thought UConn with the interim coach would hang in there. My God, the Boilermakers actually played well. They lost their running back, Horvath, though. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So on a team that already needed help with the run game. John, you got Nebraska right. Scott Frost back in the good graces of everybody, everybody there in Lincoln. And then we all three lost on USC, who was a 17.5 point favorite and got thumped by Stanford.
Man.
Looking, John, at our Crossroads Sports rankings, each of our top 10 rankings, if you're looking on the Facebook live feed, the parentheses is where we had this team ranked previously, the week before. I had Alabama, Georgia, and Oklahoma are my top three still. They have not changed at all. You've got Alabama at one. Georgia, you moved up from number 4 to number 2 now. You have the Iowa Hawkeyes, who we did not have in the top 10 rankings last week. You have them at number 3. I have them at number 5. You have Oklahoma down to number 4, and you have Oregon at 5. I have Oregon at 6 overall. Looking at the rankings, you've got Notre Dame out of the top 10 now after that performance against Toledo. You might want to explain yourself as to why you've taken them out to our fandom up in South Bend.
Just because, you know, by comparison, Penn State played a MAC school, Toledo's a MAC school, Notre Dame played Toledo. I wanted Ball. Yes, I did pick Ball State. I wanted Ball State at least to hang in there with Penn State. But you know what I'm saying? Ball State is a team that's trying to transition to become better. They're trying to get into these type of conversations where could Ball State, and you only get those kind of conversations when you get the kind of players, you know what I'm saying, layered into your system. And right now they don't have that, right? So with that being said, there's no reason why Toledo, a MAC school, should be hanging around with Notre Dame. Notre Dame's probably got, I don't know how many draft picks, you know what I'm saying, second, third rounders, fourth rounders. They do. That means, contrary to what anybody believes, the whole NFL ain't just Alabama players. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not hating on Alabama or the SEC in any rebel, you know what I'm saying? But, hell, the top offensive player the Colts have on the offensive line went to Notre Dame. Okay? You know what I'm saying? But, so, again, there's no reason why Toledo should be hanging around Notre Dame. So, you know, yes, they are still undefeated. Yes, they still, you know, they got a, you know what I'm saying, a big matchup this particular weekend against Purdue, which, you know what I'm saying, if they win that game, we don't want to necessarily move them up automatically back into the top 10, depending upon how many points they put up. But that's kind of why, you know what I'm saying, a close game against Toledo is a no-no. Penn State invited, they invited Ball State to play them. They, you know what I'm saying, we know Ball State to be an elite-level MAC school. But, hell, they beat them by 30 points. See what I'm saying? So that's the reason why, you know what I'm saying, Notre Dame is out of the top 10 for me.
I have Iowa at number 5. You have them at 3. I have a hard time. I mean, I want to believe in Iowa, but there's times I've believed them in the past, and then I've got tricked and duped by them.
Well, we must know that this is a sliding rule. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If Iowa handles their business, you know what I mean, they'll represent the Big Ten. Big Ten champion and go to one of the championship bowls. But, you know, right now they're playing the best I've seen them play since, oh my goodness, you know what I mean, since when, you know, for a long time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually that Iowa State game is a rock fight, you know what I'm saying, low scoring, all the pundits, you know what I'm saying, said that it's going to be like a 17-13 game, and that was the case. Iowa handled business. And as you can see, Iowa handled Indiana, you know what I'm saying, their rear end. In the first game out. So their biggest thing with Iowa is sustaining. Can they sustain? Can they get used to, you know what I'm saying? They got some more rock fights on their schedule. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about Wisconsin, you know what I mean? Even though Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying, took the loss earlier against Penn State. And potentially if they have to play Ohio State or Michigan, you know what I'm saying? Those are even more rock fights where in previous years they got pushed around. You know what I mean? But this is the best Iowa State. I'm sorry, this is the best Iowa team I've seen play. And that's why I have them at 3.
Okay. Oregon Ducks, you've got them at 5. I got them at 6. I think they're right there. They are now, you have to believe, in the driver's seat to win the Pac-12 with Washington, who was favored to be really, really good this year, pissing down
right.
their leg, and then USC's troubles that they've had. I mean, obviously, you at UCLA, that'll be a good matchup if you get those two against each other. Very high scoring, and you know, Chip Kelly against Oregon again. Come on now,
right?
Looking, John, I've got the line. I got the lines up for our picks for week 3. We'll do ours, and then I'll kind of explain Tanner's. First game up on our list this week is Purdue at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite as of the odds of today. I got Notre Dame covering that 7. Against Purdue. I think Purdue could hang close for maybe a quarter, but that defense is improved, but it ain't that much improved. I got the Irish.
There's no way. Again, Purdue. I really want to go with Purdue, right? They ain't beat Notre Dame. They ain't beat Notre Dame since 2007. Okay, now they haven't necessarily played every year. I think they've played like five times since 2007, but they ain't beat the Irish since 2007. And this is a game that's in South Bend, I do believe. It's not in West Lafayette.
Correct.
As much as people are kind of on, you know what I'm saying, the get rid of Brian Kelly train because he, you know, because of his play calling or him taking the foot off the pedal, the gas, you know what I mean? You know, he's undefeated. He finds a way to win games. They don't, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you win by, you know what I'm saying? Style points matter, yes, when you talk about rankings and whatnot. But, you know what I'm saying, he handled his business. So, and they won, and he also handled his team business, and they won the game. So, I think they handle business. Purdue's going to have his moments where they look, you know what I mean? But the running back being hurt does not help. and that just puts more pressure on the quarterback. Puts more pressure on the wideout, which they can kind of key in on. You know what I'm saying? Those guys are next level guys, but you know what I'm saying, you need a little bit more to beat Notre Dame. So in Notre Dame, so I don't think they beat Notre Dame. I take Notre Dame.
Yeah, Tanner says Notre Dame played bad. Thing I think they were looking ahead at the rivalry game. He thinks Brian Kelly has a team ready to play this week. He is taking Notre Dame in there to cover that one as well. So we're all on the Irish. That's a great line for Purdue. Ball State Cardinals, who had a tough one against Penn State last week. Ball State goes to Wyoming. Wyoming is a 6-point favorite. Give me Ball State and the 6 points. I think Ball State beats them even.
That's, again, like I said, man, in the segment before, man, Ball State's trying to take the next step. You only take the next step if you're trying, if you, you know what I'm saying, you can't keep on playing teams that kind of mirror you. You know what I'm saying? So, they're trying to improve the program around there. And in what better way? Wyoming. How far is that away from Indiana? You know what I'm saying? Who's the last great player from Wyoming? Dan Jones with the Duke. I can't even remember who was a great player from went to
Josh
Wyoming.
Allen.
Josh Allen. So they do have some. They can, you know, saying draw some special players there every now and then. I don't necessarily think they have that right now. Ball State plays their best game, meaning they like to score. You know what I'm saying, and light it up, throw it down the field a lot. And you know what I'm saying, if they can get that happening, they'll come out with victorious. And I'm going with Ball State. I'm going Ball State blindly. You already know.
Tanner's taking Ball State. He likes it due to Wyoming's playing Michigan next week. It could be a trap game for the Cowboys looking ahead to against Michigan. Okay. Next one, Cincinnati, 3.5-point favorites, Cincinnati at Indiana. I'm taking the Hoosiers here, John. If not now, when? And Indiana, this is your opportunity.
You're going to fall out, Brandon. I'm taking the Hoosiers too, man. I get it that Cincinnati kind of built off, you know what I'm saying, the heat that they, you know what I'm saying, from last year. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the Hoosiers did. You know, but they haven't lost. But who did they play? They played the Miami of Ohio, who's horrible. They played Murray State, who's horrible, who's even worse. You know what I'm saying? As far as football is concerned, man. So they haven't necessarily been tested this year. The backup has gotten snaps. You know what I mean? And this is after the, you know what I'm saying, after the first team is kind of carved up whoever they played. So it'll be a good game, real close game. I think the Hoosiers get better, but I think the Hoosiers are better. I can't say necessarily better quarterback, but I think the Hoosiers are better overall, and I think they come out winning.
Okay. Tanner says he's taking Cincinnati. Give IU teams to play the team with a tough defense. It frazzles them. Just look how Iowa did in that loss to them. So he is taking Cincinnati on that one. So he's the only one. We're both on Indiana there. Nebraska, I'd give them another Big 12 opponent, John. Nebraska, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a 22.5-point favorite. I think the Sooners cover this game. Maybe by win by 25-27, I think. I got the Sooners.
Yeah, the Sooners, you know, that's still a pretty big game, man. They still are traveling, you know what I'm saying, going into a hostile territory. Here's the problem. I think, you know, so I know you're hypercritical of Scott Frost being the head coach in Nebraska. I think they have the right coach. I think he recruited some folks that don't necessarily, you know, saying fit what he wants to do. So Martinez will look good against a lesser opponent, defense, but against, you know, saying, you know, guys who, you know, potentially got to go to the next level, okay, play the next level, man, he looks like me. Throwing football, so he hasn't been able to figure out how to use his athleticism, and you know, saying because he's kind of like a two, you know, saying two, you know, he can throw a little bit, run a little bit, but he hasn't been able to figure out how to do it against the elite teams, or even the good teams, you know what I mean? So, man, I'm going with upset special though. With all that being said, I don't necessarily believe in Oklahoma's defense at all. Okay, offensively, they can put up numbers, man. Scott Frost needs a signature win. Nebraska needs a signature win. I think they get it this week, and I'm going with the upset in Nebraska.
Oh, wow. Okay, good one there. Tanner says, Boomer Sooner by a lot, go Oklahoma. So we've got he's got Oklahoma there. Next one, I have Michigan State at Miami, the U. The U is favored by 7. I've got Miami winning and covering that game. Tanner has the Hurricanes over Sparty.
Michigan State back. Do you really trust the Hurricanes, man? The ACC could really, you know, that's going to be a Titanic battle, man. What did I see? Did I see enough against Alabama to think they could hang with a Big Ten team like Michigan State? Man, that's a tough one, man. I'd have to tell you, I'm going Michigan State though. I think they come up victorious. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, Alabama, 15.5 point favorite when the line came out at Florida. I am taking Alabama, Roll Tide, to roll in this game against Florida in the Swamp. Tanner says, give me the Gators at home in the Swamp. I'm going against my favorite bet, which has always been Bama first half. They cashed it for me last week on a live bet for a mortgage payment to help offset my rough day in the NFL yesterday. So he took Florida this week. I've got Bama. John, you've kind of hat tipped yours already today. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I really want Florida to win. That environment is going to be they're going to be amped up. You know what I'm saying? You got a freshman quarterback coming in there. Yes, he is on Heisman watch, man, but you got a freshman quarterback going in there, going against a, you know what I'm saying, a core defense in Florida. That's what they're kind of led by. You know what I'm saying? Their quarterback, you know, still kind of a work in progress, kind of, you know what I'm saying, trying to figure things out in Florida. You're not going to out-coach Nick Saban at all, though. It's a game that I hope Florida wins, but I'm picking with my head, not my heart this week, so I'm going with Alabama.
Okay. Virginia, undefeated Virginia at North Carolina. Carolina is a 9-point favorite. I've got Virginia in this game to cover the 9 points. Tanner says, let me see here. Give me the heels. I'll lay the points and need a good conference win here. So we're taking the heels.
Man, it's a shocker that he's going with the Tar Heels, man. He loves the Tar Heels basketball program. He loves the Tar Heel basketball program. Dude, I always I would go with you, you know what I'm saying, go with you, you know what I'm saying, as far as like Virginia. Virginia is always that team that sneaks one in on somebody they wasn't supposed to beat, right? North Carolina is not that team. I don't think they sneak one in. I think they see them kind of coming, man. So Mac Brown gets his team another, you know, victory. They can't get back into a national championship conversation or even in the top 10, even though I think they're still floating around the top 25 or so. But I think Mac Brown avoids that loss right there.
Okay. Auburn at Penn State. Penn State 6.5 point favorite in a wideout night game against Auburn. Auburn's improving. Auburn's looking better than we kind of thought they would be this early. But I've got Penn State to cover that 6.5. Tanner says Penn State all day. Didn't think they were going to be this good this year, but after the first two games and a big first game in Happy Valley, it's a wideout. Kiss Auburn's ass goodbye.
Yeah, Penn State's going to win that game. Auburn, this is a lot of, you know, they did improve, man, but we also must remember this is also the team that Patrick Ramsey last year from Northwestern, when he was at Northwestern, he kind of carved up in a bowl game. So, they're coming up to the Big Ten territory, man. I know big games do travel, but I don't know if they got the cojones to beat Penn State and Penn State. So I'm going with Penn State as well.
Last game on the docket, Arizona State is a 2.5 point favorite going to BYU. BYU just beat Utah for the first time in a while, I believe, in the Holy War.
Right.
I've got Arizona State and the Fighting Herms. I'm taking the Fighting Herms in this one. Tanner says, give me the Storming Mormons riding hard after a solid Holy War rivalry win against Utah.
Man, Arizona State's looked good like the last two weeks, man. But this is like that game, like I said, man, you know, that they have on their schedule that, you know, it kind of trip them up, man. I do like Jaden Daniels as a quarterback. I thought the coach probably should have went with Easton at quarterback and then kind of dealt with whatever was left, you know what I'm saying, in the draft coming up in March next year, April next year. But I don't know.
Herman Edwards, man, I don't want to pick against Arizona State, Brandon Reif, man, but I'm going to have to go with BYU.
All right. All right. That's our picks. It'll be up on the website this week. I've got a two-game lead on Jonathan. We'll see if it holds up through for another week. All right, John, we've got a guest coming on. I got to play some music for him. I was told I had to get some certain music ready for him.
There we go.
So let me bring him on here with a little bit of music first.
Oh, man.
We're playing the bagpipes, John, because I think our ABT or ABB, whatever the hell, the missing person alert that we sent out of Eagle Creek, I think it's been found. I think we have Reggie Sykes on the phone. He's been found at Eagle Creek. From what they said, he was a missing person after the Colts lost.
So y'all playing taps when I come on the show? Yeah, because the Colts lost, or why are we playing taps? I mean,
well, there was a report.
First thing of the season.
It was a report that you were a missing in action. You've been silent on all your social media since the Colts lost, so we were worried that you got taken or abducted.
That's a negative.
And Decott said you were out wandering around Eagle Creek, holding your hat in your hand, looking around disheveled. So I just wanted to confirm a rumor.
You know what two NFL teams he likes? And he took two L's this weekend.
The Patriots.
He likes Washington and New England. They both lost. How are you going to leave the Colts and go to Washington, a team without even a sports name, in New England? How are you going to leave the Colts?
Actually, that's pretty funny. All right, that's pretty funny, man, because he gave us a hard time because our other buddy kind of called in. We kind of got on a Detroit Lions tear, but Washington just lost their quarterback, Fitzmagic. He's on the IR. And
for
real?
Yep.
It ain't looking good.
Oh, man.
I don't, and I don't think they call Cam. I really don't.
I don't think a lot of teams may not call Cam until they get desperate right now. Somebody, Jose Medina, put on my Facebook page, Coach better get Cam. Wentz wasn't the problem. The problem was Nelson didn't play, and our starting offensive left tackle didn't play. The offensive line didn't play good at all, but considering that he was getting hit and sacked, I thought Wentz did okay. But, of course, on Twitter, all the Philadelphia Eagles fans are going to be hating on Wentz because that's what they want to do. They want to see him fail. Because they didn't know how to coach him up. They didn't know how to get him an offensive line. They didn't know how to get him wide receivers. Now, one thing that I will say was wrong with the Colts, Frank was way too conservative. Way too conservative. I mean, on fourth and two, he should have went for it. You know, and I didn't like that about Frank. I've known Frank to go for it on fourth downs, and I couldn't believe he, you know, sent out a field goal unit, you know. And that's probably going to be the last game that our defense plays that bad. You know,
they did go for it on fourth down, Reggie. They did go for it. They missed it twice.
I thought he said he should have went for the three.
I'm talking about in the first quarter. Did they go for it on the first quarter? He kicked the field goal, didn't he?
They kicked the field goal in the first quarter, but in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, they went for it, and they missed it.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the first quarter, he should have went for it.
They did a lot of work. Yeah, you know what, Reggie? I kind of agree with you on that. They did a lot of work when they
first
had the ball. And to come up short and get, you know, saying you utilize both your running backs. I mean, they had, and this is kind of settled for three. You did a lot of work to get three. So, but like I don't know, Reg. I like some of the things you said. The coach, they just looked like they were playing a fourth preseason game. Man, they didn't look to me. They looked like they were.
It really did. And then you got to think too. I mean, I'm not sure how much a difference he wanted to make. Their wide receivers are very explosive. Wilson is very – he's going to scramble and give them time. Without Rose, it was going to – if the defensive ends didn't get to Wilson, it was going to be rough. It was going to be a long day. I mean, you know, that's kind of like the Bears last night. Every time I look up, the guy bombs away. I'm like, golly, what is this? Bombs over bad day? What the heck going on? You know? I'm going to leave that one alone.
Hey, congrats. But, congrats, you're leading our pick'em by one game over me. And that Decott dead last.
Decott don't know sports. He just knows trolling. He don't know sports. He's going to go with the next best thing. You know, he sold all his Notre Dame gear, and now he's a Alabama Tide gear. He loves that you picked Auburn to lose the pin because, you know, since he's a new Alabama Tide fan, all of a sudden he hates Auburn and stuff. So, yeah, you know.
I got a question for you, Reg.
Yes, sir.
I got to know because we're running on time. I got one more segment with Jonathan to do before we go off the air.
Okay.
Aaron Donald, the Rams. The Rams kind of like a similar package of what Seattle was. I think defensively they're a little better. Offensively the same. What are we expecting this Sunday?
Man, oh, man. Is Rhodes going to play? Is offensive tackle going
to
play? Left tackle going to play? Is Nelson going to play? That's my question. If those guys play, hello?
Yeah.
Need cool.
Hello? If those guys play, I think it should be a pretty competitive game. But if we have to use the same offensive lineup that we used last week, it's going to be worse, especially if Frank doesn't do some bubble screens, especially if Frank doesn't do something to slow down that pass rush by doing that. They were daring us to draw back and you know, wait for a play to develop for the bomb, you know?
I agree.
We can't do that.
Yeah, I agree. I get nervous with bubble screens too much because that's all the freaking Steelers do right now is these bubble screens, which have worked. They worked yesterday against Buffalo, but bubble screens make me nervous. Reg, beginning of the show, I talked about – I put a lot on Frank and Eberflus also with the defensive schemes. You can't have matched up in a red zone Kenny Moore with DK Metcalf. That's unacceptable.
No, no, no. I don't know who you would put on him because all our corners are undersized to me, you know?
Yeah, so,
I
agree.
I know you got enough segment to do. I'll be able to call in Wednesday with some better takes. But like I said, D-Cop will finish last in our pick'em lead. And I agree with you taking Penn State over Auburn, though, actually. And I'm going to look through some of your other picks tonight when I get to work. Hey, great show, guys. I enjoy y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Reg.
King Controls, Reggie Sykes.
Yes, sir. All right, John. Last segment I have, I want to throw in a couple things on basketball real quick. NBA is starting in about a month. The Pacers schedule, I started looking at it, diving into it this past week. John, we could easily start 1-5 on this schedule. I don't know if you've seen the teams that we're playing. Have you seen the schedule?
Mm-hmm. I have not.
Let me read this off to you real quick. And this is we'll stay on this segment real quick, and then I've got the big NBA one I want to talk about for about 5 minutes. Bringing up the schedule, give me a second here. I was just kind of looking. We're talking with my main guy at work, who I talk basketball with. First regular season first regular season game. You're on the road at Charlotte. Okay, we can never win in Charlotte. It seems like I don't know what the deal is. We can never win in Charlotte. Game two, at Washington. Washington. Look back at last season, how we did against them. Yeah, now I know Westbrook's gone, but Washington's got some good pieces in there now. With Kuzma in there, with Beal. And some of these other team players in there, I think it's going to be a tough one in Washington with it being a road game. First home game the next night against Miami. Whew, I don't know. Miami's retooled, so they're right there. Right, I'm looking at 0-3, and then Monday night you take on the defending champion, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Then the next game
you play at Toronto. That's your one win I think you can get starting out. Okay, I think you can beat Toronto at Toronto with that team. And then the next game, you play Friday night at Brooklyn. I call that another loss. And then you got another game against Toronto.
Well,
so you might have two wins.
Hold on. You know some of these chumps ain't going to play. That's one. And we are better. I'm calling out, you know, the beard and
Right. But it just looks rough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's going to look rough starting out. I like a dub against Charlotte. I like a dub. You know what I'm saying? Milwaukee's always tough. They kind of own the pace. But, you know, we're back. Rick Carlisle's going to have the team ready, and we're a better coach in that regard. So,
okay. Last thing I have, John. I sent you a list. In October, right before the season starts, the NBA is going to announce the NBA Top 75. All they're going to do is take the top 50 and then add 25 more guys to that list. Myself and my buddy at work, we're going through that list. Who are going to be those top 25 players that's going to be added to this list of NBA's top 50? I've got LeBron, KD, Kobe, Ray Allen, Steph, Duncan, Allen Iverson, Dirk, CP3, Wade, Garnett, Reggie Miller, Jason Kidd, Kawhi Leonard, Steve Uh-oh. Nash, Russell Westbrook, Paul Pierce, Dominique Wilkins, who I was shocked when I went back and looked, he wasn't even in the NBA top 50. Dominique Wilkins, Paul Pierce, Giannis, Melo, and Artis Gilmore. And then that comes out to 71. And then you got to pick four more, Dennis Rodman, James Harden, maybe Tony Parker or Ginobili, Kyrie, and T-Mac. You've got a lot to pick there, John. I want to spend more time talking about our top 75.
The NBA top 50, I don't know if you said Garnett. He's got to be in there
somewhere. Yes, he's on there. I got him on there.
Definitely LeBron. It'll be an honor. You know what I'm saying? I think he'll gush over it. You know what I'm saying? I really don't have nothing negative to say about that. That is a lock for him.
The only one we have off our list was Chris Webber. Webber's going to be one of those that's going
to
be
technically, man, maybe he just went to the Hall of Fame, so it's a possibility that he could be a top.
But you got to keep somebody off of it then. So who's off? Is it Tony Parker? Is it T-Mac? Is it Rodman?
If you didn't get in during your era, Dennis Rodman and Dominique Wilkins, then maybe you – I know that sounds crazy to say Dominique Wilkins shouldn't be – I mean, I'm kind of shocked at that myself, but
– he wasn't in the top 50, John. That's crazy.
Yeah, but, like, you're talking about Tim Duncan. You're talking about LeBron James. You're talking about Steph Curry. I get it. I love Dominique Wilkins, but he's not – his resume don't match up with just those three guys.
Right. Real quick, when I sent you that list, what'd you think?
I just got – my mind just kind of start going, man. Chris Webber could get in because, you know, the NBA, like, things he did in Sacramento for sure. Like, you know, I try not to – I won't focus on, you know what I'm saying, him pouting his way out of the Bullets. Or out of the Washington Bulls, or even out of Golden State, you know what I'm saying, when he played for them. But, like, yeah, he you know what I'm saying, he matured by the time he got to Sacramento. And there were some great teams that he played for then. So, yeah, he put up some great stats. But, so, yeah, Dirt and Whiskey, for sure. You know what I mean? Kobe Bryant, hands down. You know, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to real quick get that in because I want to spend – we could spend probably 15, 20 minutes talking about this. So, me and my buddy, we made our list. And we're going to compare this list when the actual real one comes out of those other 25. He was under the impression that he thought it was they do an all-new top 75. So who gets left out originally in the top 50? But I went in and started reading a little more. They're just adding 25 names. And then 25 years from now, they're going to add another 25 names to it. So it'll be interesting. Dominique Wilkins, wow. That shocked me when I went back and looked and we started talking about it with there. So – great show tonight. I want to thank everybody for joining us on a Monday night. College football, we get NFL tonight, another game. Enjoy that. John, I'll let you wrap us.
Man, unpredictable, man. I'm surprised I'm even 500 in any of my pick'ems or lists, man. So great show, like Brandon Reese said. I want to say thank you to everybody who chimed in on the live feed on Facebook. I want to thank everybody who called in tonight. As well, man. Great show. Thanks to K. Nichols State Farm Insurance for being a sponsor. Thanks to Mavericks Cups Motorsports for being a sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, click the links that we have. Check out the services they have that offer. You will find something, I guarantee you. Outside of that, man, me and Brandon, we're going to do it all over again next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.